your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. That's right. Even if it's just a fancy logo bouncing around there, we are still there every single day for you on ESPN News. Let's get you started with some of the headlines that you need to know going on across the world. The NBA says players will get full paychecks up until April 15th. So the NBA players will get their full checks for the next payday for most of them, which for most of them arrives on April 15th. Even though no games will have been played for more than a month. They did give the teams that directive on Thursday in a memo obtained by ESPN. So we don't know how much further it will go, but we know at least for right now they will get full paychecks. Part of their conversation is one that everybody's having. The Big 12 no longer giving full paychecks to everybody, but they are trying to figure out what the season will look like. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby has been speaking with other Power 5 conference commissioners daily and said Thursday he remains concerned about, quote, whether or not we can have a full and robust college football season. His quote, virtually every program is highly reliant on football revenue. We're making lots of contingency plans, but if you don't get the anticipated number of games in, you lose the donations, you lose the sponsorships, you lose the gate receipts, and you lose the TV. It's potentially very impactful. We all know the impact that we're all feeling on many levels here. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. And in the wish we could have, it should have been Masters Week. Well, Tiger says if it had been Masters Week and it had been played, he would have been there in good health and ready to go. Of course. Now that we can't get Tiger in the Masters this year, we find out that he would have been healthy. Those are the headlines that you need. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm asking you, this weekend we're getting a horse tournament. Horse contest. Matchups on Sunday on ESPN from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. So I want you to tell me, which player, past or present, would you most like to see participating in the horse contest? Y'all are giving us a lot of shooters. I'm surprised we're not getting more trick shots, not getting more dunks. I mean, doesn't it feel like one of these dunk artists would be able to do a dunk that simply nobody can replicate? It's like when you're playing with somebody that you know can't use their left hand, so the first thing you do is a left-handed layup just to put them 1 point behind. Come on. I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Vinny in Florida, what's your take? Player, past or present, you want to see in the horse contest?
Hey, Jason. Dan Marley. Back in the 80s, there was a horse competition. They'd show it on Sundays at halftime during the game of the week. And dunkers, guys who could shoot threes like Bird and Magic. Dan Marley was the man to beat. Nobody could beat him. It sounds crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah, thanks for your take on it, Vinny. I had no idea. I mean, that was my era of NBA, and I don't remember that at all. And I remember Dan Marley vividly well. So maybe, you know, there's a secret sauce to all of this. Edmund in Florida, give me your take on who you want to see participating in the horse contest.
All right, so for the past, I have to go with my all-time favorite, Yao Ming. I need to see Yao Ming back in action. But for the present, for now, I miss the fan favorite Taco Fall. I need Taco in there, man. Just for the fun and giggles. It'll be hilarious to see Taco in a horse competition.
Edmund, that is a great call by you. I am all in on the more Taco I get, the better. I mean, you're talking about a sensation that if there's one thing that we're losing this year, it's more Taco. Shane in Kentucky, what do you got as your thoughts on the horse contest?
Hey, what about a Michael Jordan versus LeBron James bracket kind of deal?
Oh, Shane, I like that. You're talking about a level of competition, you know, as Ben incredibly noted from Michael Jordan, that it's just different, and we're going to see a lot of it in The Last Dance. Even now, even, you know, let's say slightly retired Michael, like not taking care of himself as much, even maybe retirement Michael would come out and show everybody up a little bit as he figured out how to edge everybody out just with competitive will. Love it. Keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tell me who you want to see participating in the horse contest. Getting a bunch of tweets on it too. At Jason Fitz, we'll read some of those in a little bit. But let's get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it starts with some quarterback Straight Talk. Marcus Spears was fired up this morning. My guy, Big Swagoo, was bringing the swagger today. Marcus Spears joined Max and Stephen A. to have an interesting conversation now, one that we haven't had to have in a long time. The question is, which quarterback in the NFC South will have the biggest impact? Is it Drew Brees, or is it that other guy that we've talked a little bit about?
Drew Brees. Tom Brady is replacing a guy who was not competent. I mean, you know, 112, what was it, points to the opposition through interceptions. Jameis Winston, that's not a competent starting quarterback, and Brady is at least that still. And so given his weapons, that'll have a big, you know, a biggest movement in terms of wins and losses. But the biggest impact, that includes the playoffs and everything, I still think it's Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is better than Tom Brady right now. Not a greater career, of course, but still an exceptionally accurate passer. Still plays in the dome 8 games a season. Still had, by the way, improved with Emmanuel Sanders now, improved the offensive weapons. That's really what they were lacking recently. And you can't say, oh, like, how much does Drew Brees need? What were they really lacking? I agree with that. He had a lot. But if you wanted to point to something offensively, you'd say a legit number two receiver, you know, who's the real deal. They have that now, too. So I would say, given what's around him, given how accurate he still is, given the Saints' Super Bowl ambitions, their realistic Super Bowl ambitions, I think it's Drew Brees.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. And dare I say, Max Kellerman, Ivy League grad, Columbia grad, I got to explain the definition of impact to you. You're talking about results and whether or not it's better results. What I would say to you in response to that, if we're talking about impact, suppose, for example, hypothetically speaking, that the New Orleans Saints, who were 13-3 last year and finished in first place in the NFC South, Swagoo, suppose now their record is 11-5 or 12-4. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers jumped to 10 or 11 wins. I would say that's impactful. That may not be more successful than Drew Brees, but clearly it's impactful. So when you look at Tom Brady and you ask the question about impact and you consider what we're projecting and speculating and pontificating about as it regards Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with Mike Evans as a receiver, Chris Godwin as a receiver, O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, tight ends, et cetera, et cetera. You're talking about potentially a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that's perceived as being a playoff team, particularly with the addition of a playoff team in each conference, you know, in terms of their new collective bargaining agreement. You're talking about that. You're talking about the potential of Tom Brady in that division being in the playoffs. You're also taking into account the fact that the New Orleans Saints have been coming up short religiously. I would say in terms of impact, not better or worse, but in terms of having a profound impact on the landscape of things, I think that goes to Tom Brady as opposed to Drew Brees, because Drew Brees might be successful, but that would be same old, same old. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers being successful, that's a game changer.
I mean, yeah, Stephen, you're right. Yeah, I mean, we knew the answer to this question as soon as it was asked. It's Tom Brady. Obviously, you look at his offseason impact. Max. Like, they brought Tom Brady in to be a playoff team, to win a Super Bowl. Drew Brees has already proven in New Orleans that he has what it takes to get close. Obviously, the calls and the things that have transpired at the end of the season with the defense giving up a touchdown to call Kyle Rudolph to knock them out of the playoffs. But the impact is Tom Brady. Look, we haven't had all of this damn conversation all offseason, all the previous regular season about Tom Brady leaving to go to a division and not have the most impact from a quarterback that's supposed to change the identity of your franchise. Tampa Bay is expecting Tom Brady to have more impact than any quarterback, let alone the NFC South, but in the NFL itself. Every football fan is expecting Tom Brady to have more of an impact. And deep down in your heart of hearts, Max Kellerman, you are expecting Tom Brady to have more of an impact than any other quarterback in the league. I get what you're saying about Drew Brees, and you're not wrong. But, like, impact? Come on, man. We know that's Tom Brady.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So that's some straight talk wireless only for only everything for less, only at Walmart. Try all that. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, there's not just the South and the NFC impacted by the quarterback conversation. The AFC South is also impacted by the quarterback conversation, which takes us to today's QB Continued. Now, if you've been listening, we do a different quarterback every single day that we look at. We look at what's expected of them. Today's quarterback continued series takes us to one that is interesting to me. Quarterback Philip Rivers is the topic of conversation. Now, Colts linebacker Darius Leonard joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about the addition of Philip Rivers to the Colts.
You have a new guy coming in under center. He's got a lot of experience, but looked like he was slipping in recent years. You guys kind of looked like you're one elite quarterback away from a Super Bowl. What is the feeling right now for you? I know you're not around your teammates as you normally would be, but what's the feeling for you right now, given these circumstances?
I'm feeling good, man. You know, seeing the things that Phillip Rivers did in his career, you know, watching him ever since, you know, 2007, and seeing all the things, what type of competitor he is, seeing what type of tough guy he is, you know, playing against him last year, seeing him play firsthand, you know, now I can have him as a teammate with all his experience, learn from him, and now he knows the game. He's been in Frank and Nick's system years ago, so he knows everything. So I'm definitely looking forward to see what he can bring for this team.
How do you feel about your team coming into this season? Do you believe that y'all are legitimate Super Bowl contenders? Because I got questions about y'all in your own division, considering the fact that, you know, Houston and Tennessee's up in there. What are your thoughts?
Without a doubt, we're a Super Bowl contender. I mean, especially, you know, having these offseason pickups with DeForest, Xavier Rhodes, and Phillip Rivers. And, you know, I feel like we were just one step away. And now that Chris is doing a great job of adding pieces to the puzzle, you know, the defensive line looking great, defensive back looking great, you know, the linebacker core doing well. We have a great Mike linebacker there, Anthony Walker. And, you know, I think that as long as we put everything together and stop shooting ourselves in the feet and the foot, I think we'll be fine.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. So what we like to do is take QB Continued and move it a step forward. And we do that every day by bringing in an expert. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. This expert, I'm a little surprised. Sometimes I think we're going to tweet or we're going to text people and ask them to come on and they're going to tell us no. And if there's anybody that could just tell me to kiss his butt, I think it might be who we're about to talk to, because it's time to bring on Mike Wells, who covers the Colts for us. And Mike, the last time we had you on, it may have seemed to some people like I cut you off and I just decided you didn't get to talk anymore. So I appreciate you coming back on with me again.
Come on, Fitz, you stole my thunder, man. I told your great producer, James Steele, when he called me. I said, I'm glad I'm back on because I got to mess with Fitz about something. But you went ahead and jumped the gun. You took the joke away already by saying that you went ahead and all of a sudden act like that you had like a power outage or you hit the dump button because I was not bringing anything to the table on your show a couple weeks ago. And I know that's the truth. I know you're gonna say it was an accident, it was a technical problem, but I know you just hit that dump button, pulled the cane out, and pulled me off stage. But you're still my guy, though, man, because yeah, I love Nashville where you live at. That's one of my favorite cities. So we can go ahead and forget about what happened a few weeks ago, unless it happens again today.
Okay, fair. That is fair. We're starting anew. This is going to be an all new. Although we might not be friends by the end of this, because I've found out that my opinion on Phillip Rivers joining the Colts is a polarizing one. I don't think Phillip Rivers to the Colts was a great signing. So convince me I'm wrong, Mike.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. What the Colts could not do, they could not bring Jacoby Brissett back as their starting quarterback. The fan base would have been very upset because I think they realized that Jacoby's not their franchise quarterback. But with Phillip Rivers, I was shocked by it. I mean, once you started hearing the rumors and stuff, Colts and Rivers being connected, you're like, okay, that goes against everything that Chris Ballard has preached since he got hired, you know, more than 3 years ago. He always saying he wants guys that have not reached their potential yet. They're still in the prime of their careers. And we know Phillip Rivers obviously is on the decline of his career at 38 years old. So it goes against what Ballard has talked about in that. But with that said, when you look at the free agent quarterbacks that were out there, Teddy Bridgewater, they weren't too high on him. You know, the thought is that he's a system quarterback who has success playing in Sean Payton's offense in New Orleans. Marcus Mariota, you guys couldn't get rid of him quick enough down there in Nashville. Jameis Winston, he's an interception machine. You look at other quarterbacks out there on the market, you didn't know what was going to go on with Cam Newton. Tom Brady, that was not going to – obviously Brady had his eyes on Tampa. There just wasn't out there. So they went with the familiar face. Phillip Rivers has been running Frank Reich's offense since 2013 when Reich was on staff with the Chargers. So they were very familiar with it from that standpoint. He can step right in and know the offense, especially when you think about what we're dealing with the COVID situation where teams are not having off-season workouts and everything. Like you said, that, you know, Rivers knows 85% of his offense, so everything's going to be fine. The question mark is, can Phillip Rivers regain the form that he had 2 years ago when the Chargers were 12-4 and not be the Phillip Rivers who threw 20 interceptions last season in L.A.?
ESPN Colts reporter Mike Wells joins us on the show. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz, and that's a part of it that concerns me. I just feel like Phillip Rivers, especially last year, was more of a liability than a help for the Chargers. So when he comes into this particular offense for the Colts, he's facing, you know, he's facing a division where the Titans are, in the minds of many, a favorite. Does he make them better enough to make them the division champion in your mind?
Well, you know what? Here's the, you know, I'm going to go step by step in the division. I still don't know what in the world Bill O'Brien did when trading DeAndre Hopkins. I know Hopkins wanted a new contract, but he's still one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL. Bill O'Brien should not have the dual role of GM and head coach. Jacksonville, they're just, you know, they were a one-hit wonder several years ago. They're clearly in rebound mode. With the Titans, I love Mike Vrabel. I love how his defense has that blue-collar mentality. Derrick Henry is a beast to deal with. Now I'm wondering, are they going to regret giving Ryan Tannehill all that money? You bring in Phillip Rivers, playing behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. That defense, they get DeForest Buckner, interior part of the line to go with Justin Houston and Darius Leonard, one of the best linebackers in the league. The question mark for me with the Indianapolis Colts is, who in the world is Phillip Rivers going to throw the football to? They have T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle at tight end, Marlon Mack rush for 1,000 yards, and I guarantee you a lot of people who are just average Colts fans are going to have to Google to see who else is on the roster at wide receiver for the Colts. No first-round pick. They have 10 wide receivers on the roster. Half of them are not caught a pass in the NFL. So Phillip Rivers goes from having all those weapons with the Chargers, with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, the two running backs out there, to come in here where basically it's T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle, Marlon Mack, and who knows who the hell is out there. But the key is he has an offensive line. He's not going to be running for his life, and I think that's going to cut down on some of his interceptions. With that said, at this point today on April, since I'm locked up in the house, I don't even know what day of the month it is, April 8th or something, or 9th. I think it is between the Titans and the Colts as the front runners in the AFC South at this point.
Okay, so then, given all the lack of weapons, but what we expect in the draft this year, Mike, what do you expect the Colts' draft strategy to be?
Oh, definitely. They have two second-round draft picks, number 34 and 44. They're definitely going to look to try to get a wide receiver. They got to get a wide receiver, get some more pieces out there. Also, look for a quarterback for the future. Rivers and Jacoby Brissett will be in the final year of their contract next season. Rivers only with a one-year deal. So they have to try to find a replacement, a quarterback for Rivers, even though Rivers says he wouldn't mind playing a couple more years. You got to have a future there. This franchise has been spoiled. They've been very spoiled with Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck since 1998. But they legitimately have question marks now. They need more cornerbacks out there. They got to, you know, you can never have too many defensive linemen and offensive linemen. But wide receiver is number one on that list, because you don't want Phillip Rivers to be like, am I throwing the football to Larry Moe and Curly out there? Who am I throwing the football to? So definitely wide receiver at the top of that list.
Well, and I will say, Mike, in fairness to the move, this draft particularly will leave wide receivers in the second round that are attainable, that can be day one impact players. So, you know, maybe there's strategy behind all of it. And Mike, you know what? You brought it today, so I feel like I don't have to cut you off. I feel like you're so good, we'll let you, you know, we'll let you get through the whole thing. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Wells NFL. You know, at the very least, if you see him out when we're no longer social distancing, buy him a drink and send me the bill. I owe it to him for cutting him off last time. Follow him, Mike Wells NFL. Mike, we appreciate your time, my friend. I can't wait to connect at some point. Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, Fitz, be good. Stay safe. All right.
Absolutely. You too, my friend. ESPN Colts reporter Mike Wells. Love that. And that's what we do every day. Take the QB Continued series. We move it a step forward with somebody that's in the thick of it, that's in the know for it. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because I am just shook by the thought of how many games I felt like Phillip Rivers was part of the reason the Chargers lost. So I'll be interesting to see, because the Chris Ballard, I think, has done a spectacular job of taking a team that was once perceived as a quarterback and nothing else, and turning it into a roster that felt like it was everything but the quarterback. Now they had to get that one piece. and that one piece was Phillip Rivers. I don't know if I'm buying. I want to know who you're buying as the one player you want to see, past or present, that you want to see come in to this weekend's horse matchup. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go sideline Mike in Atlanta. Who you got as somebody you want to see in the horse contest?
Well, you know, I want to see a horse slash dunk contest, and then I'm going to get to my horse. I want to see Sean Kemp against Vince Carter in a dunk contest. All right? Let's see that, number one. Number two, and like I told you, your screen, I want to see Michael Jordan against Kobe, and I want to see Shaq and Hakeem against each other.
Oh, you are going all thunderous dunks. I mean, but I like that take, actually. And I'm surprised, and thanks for the take on it. I'm surprised we aren't seeing more people call for dunkers, because that's the one thing. Like, I'm a short guy that can't jump very high. Like, I don't even know if I could jump on – I can't dunk on a six-foot rim. Come on, I got no ups whatsoever. So if I'm playing a horse against somebody and they go to the dunk part of it, I'm done. I'm done. So for all of these shooters that are suddenly out there shooting from wherever and doing these great trick shots, there's also going to be a group of guys that are just going to do these spin 360 windmill dunks that nobody can replicate. Keep it coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get more of your take. Plus, how much pressure is on the Chiefs to repeat as Super Bowl champions? You'll hear what First Take had to say about that next. But first, it's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? You remember. It's full defensive coverage with no holes. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. Runs on America's best networks, same as big carriers, but for a lot less. It's just $45 a month. That gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data than 2G. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. No contract, full court coverage, half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We'll get more Straight Talk from Your Take coming up next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're getting your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. With horse coming this weekend, what player, past or present, would you love to see out there? Well, you can pick anybody, past or present. Who do you want to see participating in the horse contest? We'll get more of your take coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In fact, let's do it real quick. We'll get one in here. Ronald in Florida, what's your take on the horse contest? What would you wish you could see in there?
Okay, Fitzy, I got a crazy, crazy three-way for you, dude. Give me Stephen Curry versus Klay Thompson versus Larry Bird versus Gilbert Arenas. That's what I got for you, brother. I think that's all time.
Oh, man, that is actually – I love the fact that you've got different guys from different eras, but you've got guys that have similar abilities to make each other's shots. So you're really creating challenge there. You know, there's two ways you can take this horse thing. Do we want to see people that are sort of trying to figure out, I do this and you can't? Or do you want to see guys that are really matching up with the same strengths? Trey in West Virginia, what do you got for your take on the horse contest?
Well, buddy, I'm going to have to go about 25 years back or so. I want to see Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, like in that old commercial. I think it was like McDonald's or whatnot. I want to see them two go at it, but I like to see them go at it at their age now.
No, I'm all in for that, especially if they try and replicate some of those shots. Like, remember the commercial as a kid? It was like off the scoreboard, outside the building, down the street. Look, they can't do that. But give me some sort of crazy shot for it. I'm all in for it. On Twitter, by the way, Steph Curry versus Reggie Miller would be my guys playing horse. That's according to Bubba, who says, be kind. Bubba Power! He always signs Bubba Power. I love the consistency. Reoward says Mark Price on that. Like that. We haven't had a lot of that. Jeremy Z echoes the Bird and Jordan sentiment. Dennis says Pistol Pete versus Larry Legend would be an epic game of horse. I agree with that. Lep wants Christian Laettner in horse. That's not bad there. Rob Price with Brian Scalabrine. No doubt he wins and adds some nice trash talking. Getting a lot of these tweets out here. Sean says Dr. J, Dominique Wilkins, Vince Carter, and throw in Aaron Gordon, Jordan, of course. That's what I love. We're getting a lot of different names here. TJ with Ray Allen. So, keep them coming. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz plus 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Great way to get in on it. Daniel with Kwame Brown. I don't know what Daniel's thinking. In the meantime, before we get more of your take, let's move back to the NFL. Stephen A. and First Take had an interesting conversation today when they were joined by Dan Orlovsky to break down how much pressure there is on the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes to repeat as Super Bowl champions.
I don't think there's much pressure because Patrick Mahomes is only 24 years of age. He's absolutely phenomenal, and he has plenty of time to exude his level of excellence. If he was in the tail end of his career, I think there's more pressure on Aaron Rodgers than there is on Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers is considerably older, obviously. And not only that, he hasn't had a Super Bowl appearance nor a title since 2010. Patrick Mahomes could very well come back next year, make the playoffs, lose, and still have an illustrious career waiting for him spanning the next decade plus. And so when I look at it from that perspective, that's where I think the pressure has dissipated. It would be mounting if he was throwing 50 touchdowns and being as excellent as he was, winning league MVP honors, and there was no championship to point to. But the fact that he already has a Super Bowl championship and a Super Bowl MVP at the age of 24, and obviously a lot of success ahead of him when you consider the fact that Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and these boys aren't planning on going anywhere, I wouldn't say there's a mountain of pressure on Patrick Mahomes' shoulder next season, or Andy Reid for that matter, because Andy Reid went the first 20 years without a Super Bowl ring. Now he's a champion, and he was considered a great coach before he won the Super Bowl. So I don't think that it's that kind of pressure on them next year. They can't fall off the wagon and not even make the playoffs. But I definitely think that as long as they're talented and competitive, I think that that's all that anybody can expect from them right now. And I don't think it's that level of pressure that people believe.
Yeah, the Chiefs aren't under an insurmountable amount of pressure to win the Super Bowl this year. Now, first of all, pressure is something that you apply, not something that you feel. And there's no team in the NFL right now that can apply more pressure to teams that they play against than the Kansas City Chiefs. And it starts with Patrick Mahomes, and Stephen A. is exactly right. He's still very young. This kid's not going anywhere for at least a decade and a half. They're going to have him for a decade and a half. But I want to look at it a little bit deeper, because when I talk about the ability to kind of apply pressure to other teams, it's not just Patrick Mahomes. Look at their front office. Look at Brett Veach, their general manager. Since he's been a part of the Chiefs organization, he started really as a development of player personnel, and then he entered into the general manager role. I want to read off some of the names that he's been a part of drafting in the last 7 years. In 2013, he took Eric Fisher in the first round and Travis Kelce in the third round. 2014, D. Ford. 2015, Marcus Peters and Mitch Morsey in the second round, one of the better centers in the NFL. 16, he takes Chris Jones in the second round, which was a little bit of a reach by people's opinion. DeMarcus Robinson, Tyreek Hill in the fifth round. In 2017, he gets a guy named Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt in the third round. Last year, Mecole Hardman in the second round, Juan Thornhill in the second round, Kalen Saunders in the third round. So you can apply pressure to these other teams when you have a great general manager. And Brett Veach is a great general manager. He's not going anywhere. He's going to continue to draft really good players. He doesn't have to win this year. Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. He's going to be there for a decade and a half. And I look at guys like, listen, John Elway, early in his career, went to the Super Bowl, didn't win it, ended up winning it late. Peyton Manning obviously switched teams, but if you look at Tom Brady, won a bunch early, had that stretch, ended up winning some at the back end of his career, and so Drew Brees has been super close after winning one early. So they don't have to win one right here. Their window is going to be really long with Patrick Mahomes, Brett Veach, and that cap going up.
Dan Orlovsky giving you some real knowledge there, but also I would add, what sport has less pressure to repeat as champions than the NFL? I mean, it's not something we have become generally accustomed to. And while I appreciate and can acknowledge the success the Patriots have had in consistently getting there, for most fan bases, when you get to a Super Bowl, there's such a collective sigh of relief that, oh my God, we did that. And there's such a rejoice that lasts so long. Unlike Major League Baseball or the NBA particularly, we're not used to dynastic performances that lead to repeats. So I don't think it gives us the same level of pressure. You know, you can look at isolated examples, but for the most part, the pressure seems to always lie on veteran players in the NFL to see what they can get done. I'd argue that there's very little pressure on the Chiefs to repeat, not just because of Patrick Mahomes and his age, but because frankly, there's usually very little pressure on NFL teams to repeat. We take it year by year. In the meantime, we're taking your call by call. Past or present, which player would you like most to see participating in the horse contest? I like Kaz on Twitter who came in and said, give me a Curry versus Curry. Give me Dell versus Steph. I like that. Old school versus new school. Graham in Florida, what's your take? Who would you like?
I'll have a little bit of fun with you. I want to see Meadowlark Lemon and Vince Carter at their peak, and Curly Neal and Steph Curry in a ball handling and a shooting horse match.
No, see, I like this. If you went 2-on-2 and made it like tournament style, where you give me two Globetrotters versus two NBA players, you know, I'm all in on getting the Harlem Globetrotters in on this thing. They would be sneaky. Like, if I was going to put an uncomfortable amount of money on somebody to win one of these contests, it would be on somebody that spends day in and day out practicing tricks and trick shots. I mean, that's such a huge part of horse. I think this is an undersold part of what's going to make it great. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mark, in Minnesota, who you got that you'd want to see in the horse contest?
Have a bit of an outside the lines, Bria. David Thompson of the Nuggets versus the Dude Perfect guys who do trick shots off tops of buildings and trampolines.
Wow, okay, that is outside the box. I like that. I'm not sure why you went David Thompson against a trick shot. I mean, I do like the concept of a trick shot artist, but I'm not sure why against David. But I'll take it. We'll take it all day long. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can give me any player, past or present, you want to see participating in the horse contest. Again, it's going to be Sunday on ESPN from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. That'll be the first round Sunday night, so you can check it out. Coming up, whose legacy did Michael Jordan's career hurt the most? That's an interesting question. Max and Stephen A. had a strong answer. You'll hear next. Plus, more Your Take coming on. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed any of today's show, including interviews with Paul Feinbaum, Mike Wells, well, you can go check the show out. It's on demand at the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. We're going to get some more of your take in just a moment. What player, past or present, would you most like to see participating in the horse contest we're getting this weekend? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Before we get there, though, a little conversation about legacy, but not the one that you've been hearing so often. No, this is about Michael Jordan, as we know that The Last Dance is right around the corner. April 19th is when it will debut. So we're having these different Michael Jordan conversations. Stephen A. today chimed in on an interesting question when asked whose legacy Michael Jordan's success actually hurt the most.
There are many, many people on this list. Names like Karl Malone, Charles Barkley. Those names come to mind in terms of guys that would have had championships. Clyde Drexler, even though he ultimately went to Houston and got one, he would have had one in Portland if it were not for Jordan. We get all of that. We also have to remember the days of the Cleveland Cavaliers when they had Mark Price, Larry Nance, Matt Doherty and those boys, Greg Elo, poor Craig Elo, you know, seeing Jordan, you know, shooting a fallaway jump shot over the free throw line to win a playoff series. I mean, he's forever infamous for that moment because Jordan shot over him. There's a host of people and teams that you could bring into the equation that Jordan just ruined everything and he just sullied their legacy. But the person that I believe, Max, suffered the most was Patrick Ewing, former center for the New York Knicks. You don't really hear anything about Patrick Ewing, the player, anymore outside of New York City. He carried the New York Knicks franchise on his back for more than a decade. Yes, when Jordan retired, they went to the finals and lost to Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, Kenny Smith, Robert Horry, and all of those boys. That is true. But there is no question that if it were not for Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing would be a champion. We talk about Duncan. We mentioned David Robinson. We'll mention Shaq and others. We almost never mention Patrick Ewing outside of New York. He is an afterthought in basketball annals because he never won the chip. Because usually the Chicago Bulls, and specifically Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, were standing in his way.
That is a great pull, Patrick Ewing. And Stephen A., that would have been my answer if we were thinking about it conventionally. Here's my answer. Kobe Bryant. I think Kobe Bryant is the guy whose legacy has suffered the most because of Jordan. Now, it's a little unfair because so much of Kobe's game is based on MJ. Would Kobe have been the same player had MJ not come before him? Well, given his work ethic, his drive, his you know, determination to be great, his athletic ability, the fact that his father was a high-level basketball player, all those things, I think the answer is yes, even had there not been a Michael Jordan to aspire to you know, whose game he could imitate and all that. I mean, he even wound up with Jordan's coach, for crying out loud. But Kobe was Jordan, or tried to be Jordan 2.0, 24 instead of 23, was going for the 7 chips to surpass Jordan 6, wound up with 5. Just imagine if there was no Michael Jordan, what we'd think about Kobe Bryant. He would basically be Michael Jordan, because he is, as it is, he's basically Michael Jordan.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Interesting question, because I see both sides of their points. I do have to say, though, we just sort of glossed over the fact that Ewing did have an opportunity for championships he didn't capitalize on. So that's interesting to sort of continue to debate, and that'll happen all the way until The Last Dance debuts with us in April, on April 19th. In the meantime, this weekend, we're getting the first round of horse matchup Sunday on ESPN from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, featuring a bunch of NBA superstars. So the question is, which player, past or present, would you most like to see participating in the horse contest? We've been getting your take on it. Let's keep doing that. Anthony in Florida, what's your take? Who you got?
Mine are Larry Bird and Reggie Miller.
Oh, wow. So you're going with two shooters, Anthony. You're confident in two shooters. That's where you want.
Yeah. And honestly, with all right, the argument with the legacy, who affected the most, honestly, I'm a Heat fan. It affected the Heat the most because they were in that era of teams dealing with the Knicks and the Bulls at the same time. And we didn't have star players.
That's fair. That's fair. And I appreciate the fandom on it. We're not really going there today, but I will say this quickly. The Heat still did get some championships. So, you know, but I see your point on that. Jesse in Tennessee, who you got is who you want to see participating in the horse contest?
I would like to see Shaquille O'Neal against Dwight Howard.
Oh, you want the big boys going at it. Now, we're presuming if we get that, Jesse, that neither of them are going to have to shoot from any range, right? Like, that's going to be, and I appreciate your take on it. Like, that's going to be the toughest part on it. You got those two guys going in. There's only one thing they're doing. Aaron in Michigan, who do you want to see in the horse contest?
I definitely need to see Pistol Pete Maravich. People forget this guy would have scored over 30 points a game at LSU if they would have had a 3-point line. And another name that I want everybody to look up is Earl Manigault, one of the best street ballers that they have never heard of. Thanks a lot, Fitz.
Hey, man, I'll take the education on that. That's awesome. I now know what I'm going to do the rest of the afternoon. Kevin in West Virginia, real quick, who do you want to see in the horse contest?
Karl Malone, James Worthy, and Moses Malone.
Oh, I like that. That's some, you're deep diving there. That's great. And you know, Worthy's a underrated part of it. Thanks for your take on it. I appreciate it. One shooter I'm surprised we didn't see, nobody has mentioned. Big Shot Bob. I mean, Robert Horry has made how many winning, championship winning shots and championship winning moments? I got to feel like Robert Horry would show up in any sort of a horse contest. Feels like an underrated part of this. I still think we're undervaluing dunks too, because let's be real, there's certain dunks nobody's going to be able to do. It's at least a fun conversation to get us to prep for this weekend. Again, that'll be Sunday night. Coming up next, Will Cain's going to be hanging out with you. If the NBA doesn't resume its season, did LeBron miss out at his chance for a title?